Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Obi Young, president of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and director for the studios from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. This is Obi Young with Managing Safety. Today, we're in Orlando, Florida, and we've got a special guest that came all the way across the big pond. I guess at the Atlantic Ocean, for some of you who don't know the pond I'm speaking of, but it's Niels Jamieson. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and you're with Gasco, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Is that a gas company or
what? Sadly not. We're not quite as well off as a gas company. It's the General Aviation Safety Council.
Oh, General Aviation Safety Council. Now, is that a government agency or what?
No, we're a non-profit organization based in the UK, formed in the 1960s. We're funded partly by the UK Civil Aviation Authority, but a lot of other organizations as well, so people like the British Helicopter Association, Flying Farmers Association, British Gliding Association, the UK Met Office, those kind of people.
Great. So you would be, I guess, the CAA is kind of like the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration.
The British equivalent, that's right.
And GASCO is kind of like our organization, the National Aviation Safety Foundation, or the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. I guess that would be the nonprofit portion of that.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. And what do y'all do?
Well, we're interested in making sure that people have fun when they fly their general aviation aircraft, and our stated aim is to save lives in general aviation. So we're interested in making sure that people fly safely and don't have accidents.
Fly safely and don't have accidents. Are you also in the promotion business of promoting flying?
We will promote flying from a point of view of doing it safely. We're helping the interest groups to promote their sort of flying, but we will help them with the safety angle of that.
And you mentioned some of those interest groups, I think, a minute ago, but if you would reiterate those.
Okay, so there are people like the British Helicopter Association, the British Gliding Association, British Microlight Association, so they're the guys who are flying ultralight aircraft.
Okay, so that would be in the United States, like the Helicopter Association is international, and would be like the Soaring Society of America.
Yeah,
those are the counterparts,
right,
there. So it's much the same, but slightly different.
Yeah,
names.
That's right. Everybody, I guess, will have their own equivalent interest group, and they will very often have their own safety campaigns going on, but we're able to act as an umbrella for all the organizations to come together and act as a central point.
That's almost exactly the way the National Aviation Safety Foundation came about, It's a composite of all these other organizations. Mm. So we've got some real similarities. I didn't realize that when we first got the phone call from Michael O'Donohue.
That's right. He's our chief executive.
And he's the chief executive officer of GASCO.
That's right.
That's correct. Now, in the FAA in the United States, we have about 600 and some odd thousand pilots. And to work with them, the FAA has about 150 people who specialize in aviation safety and flight standards, and they're called safety program managers or FPMs, if you would. And what does the British people have?
Well, we've got, at the moment, there are some general aviation people in the Civil Aviation Authority, and then the interest groups, they have their own safety officers for their particular kind of flying. But we in GASCO at the moment, we've got really, there's a team of three of us. So Michael O'Donohue is one, there's myself and another guy called Michael Benson.
All right, y'all are the nonprofit section.
Yeah.
My point here was, in the United States, FAST team program managers, we have about 100.
Yeah, we've probably got none now. We got one guy who was part-time, who retired, I think, last year from the CAA. But
okay, so there is definitely a need for GASCO to exist then.
That's right, and that's really when the guy who was working for the CAA was going to reduce the number of hours he was working and eventually retire, the CAA needed to look for a replacement for that, and that's where we started to work more closely and officially with the CAA to deliver the
safety. And so our listeners in Florida could comprehend, because we do about 15-18% of all the training in the world here in Florida. If you would imagine one FAA person running all over Florida from Miami up to Tallahassee over Jacksonville. It just would be a difficult, and this is what your friend with the CAA was doing.
That's right, yeah. So he could only reach a limited number of people within a time period.
And hence the need for the FAST team program managers, in this case, to work with FAST team representatives who were the volunteers. Mm-hmm. So y'all were like the volunteers, but you're sort of volunteers, but you're a nonprofit.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. You're more like the foundation or AOPA rather than a aviation safety counselor, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we have the board that sits, the GASCO board, and they're the representatives of the interest groups there, but I'm working at the grassroots level as a volunteer.
Great. Now, whereabouts in England are you from?
Well, I work in Manchester, which is in the northwest, so probably a couple of hours drive from London.
Okay. So is it cold up there this time of year?
Yeah, well, it's certainly wet and cold. Getting that way now, it's the October gales are coming. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're just finishing up our hurricane season here at the end of November. But as that comes, we need to be aware of the time of the year is late October, November is when the Gulf kicks up a little bit over here. So different places in the world have different concerns, but we're all concerned about the weather. We're all concerned, as we were talking about earlier, about mountain flying, because you had a couple of friends that came with you today, and they are?
Friends of mine are Sean Bennyworth and Dean Cutler.
And they're over here in the United States doing what?
Well, very exciting. They're both training to be commercial pilots. They're both hoping to join the airlines in the next 12 to 18 months. And they're over here at Hours Building. So they rented a Cessna 172 from Corona in California. And so far they've been around three sides of the country. Picked me up in Virginia, and I'm with them for the last 2 weeks of the trip.
And we were speaking of that also, about flying in Europe or in England compared to the United States. If you were going to just say 25 words or less about flying from California to Florida compared to flying somewhere in Europe, how would you compare it?
Well, I think it brings its own challenges. Certainly they've got a lot higher mountains, as the guys have found over here. It's a novel experience looking up from 10,000 feet and still seeing solid ground in front of you.
Uh-huh.
There's a real freedom over here. There's very little bits of the sky that you can't fly in, which is very different to home.
Now, what do you mean by freedom over here?
Well, you can mix it with the big boys. You know, you can get close to the jets, you land at the same airports, you get priority next to them, which just doesn't happen at home. You know, GA is very separated, general aviation is separated very much from the commercial operators.
How about the number of general aviation airplanes in Europe or England compared to the United States?
I think there are... I don't have numbers off the top of my head, but...
Not necessarily numbers, just on your flight from California to here, you know, did you see a lot more small airplanes than you would in Europe?
Yeah, I think in certain places you do. There are certainly around the hubs it's busier, but then there are also in between places, there's a vast area where there's probably you're the only person around, which generally isn't the case in the UK. We get squeezed into an ever smaller area of sky there, so I think, you know, a mixture of both, really.
Okay, let's go back just a little bit and look at, let's say, a few years back compared to present day. And we'll finish up with this question. We'll take a break in just a minute. And how would you compare the UK, say, 10 years ago compared to now as far as flying? Mm. How has it changed?
Well, Obi, I think the peak of the last decade really was around 2003.
Mm-hmm.
We had a fantastic summer that year. And compared with then, there are probably around about half the number of licenses being issued now as there were then. The costs are dramatically higher, probably 30% or more higher than they were in 2003. Maintenance rules have become a lot more onerous. The costs are really going up. And the regulatory burden is higher because of all the stuff coming from Europe.
So it's not just in the United States that prices are going up.
No. And well, put it this way, we just filled up our 172 at Kissimmee for, about $4 a gallon. Average price in the UK at the moment is nearly $12.
Wow. So you people hear that out there, $12 compared to
$12, and that's an average price.
Wow. That it has changed, but... It's still worth your time. It's still worth your energy to get out there and enjoy the sport.
Yeah, you have a real freedom here that we're not enjoying so much in Europe. So, you need to hang on to that over here.
But these guys won't be worried about that because it'll be fine for the airline, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Nels, we're going to take a break here in just a minute. I'm Obi Young with Managing Safety, and we'll be right back with you.
Now, let's rejoin Obi Young and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Hello, and welcome once again. This is Obi Young with Managing Safety, and we're back now speaking with our friends from across the big pond, the Atlantic Ocean, and Nels Jameson, who is with GASCO, which is a General Aviation Safety Council, which is a nonprofit entity that is assisting, is it the British CAA? Is that the correct term?
Yeah, that's right.
Which is like the FAA in Europe, but they're trying to promote aviation and aviation safety, primarily aviation safety, not just with small airplanes, but with different types of user groups. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah,
that's correct. Okay. Now, we had talked about ballooning, which is, we just finished the Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is the largest balloon event in the United States. And do y'all have anything like that in Europe?
Yeah, we do. We have a couple of big balloon festivals. There's one that happens in Bristol, which is in the southwest of the UK, which usually has several hundred balloons at that one. That's a quite spectacular event.
Have you ever been over to, I guess it's France, where the Montgolfier brothers started the whole thing?
No, I haven't. I don't know how they are with ballooning over in France.
We had one of our folks who was our balloon chairman for years who went over there where they actually launched the first balloon and sent back pictures of the area and all with the goat and whatever it is they put in the balloon
that's
that
right.
went
yeah.
up. But anyway, sounds like a lot of fun. Now, of course, we have Oshkosh, which is the big air show that we have here in Sun and Fun down in Lakeland, where we are in Florida. Do y'all have any big air shows like that in England?
We have nothing on that scale. I guess the closest we have, which we were all just at the beginning of September, was the Light Aircraft Association Rally. They're the equivalent of the EAA over here. And they have a major rally where they had over 700 aircraft, which is quite a good turnout for an event in the UK.
Okay, you used the term light aircraft rally there, and we have something, sport aircraft in the United States has certain weight restrictions and for certain other licensing restrictions. And, of course, I think in January down in Sebring, Florida, we have the international light sport aircraft flying, and so we're excited about visiting with the folks down there at Lockwood Aviation, and people from all over the country come there. Do y'all have a class of sport aviation like that, sport aircraft?
It's probably one of the biggest growing sectors in the UK because of the fuel price that we were talking about earlier on and the general cost of flying an aircraft. The likes of Cessnas and Pipers and so on are getting really quite expensive. And if you want something new, it's likely that you'll pick us one of the new sport aircraft that are coming out, you know, with the updated avionics and an engine that's maybe running on gasoline rather than avgas.
Now, so, we talked about avionics. Do y'all have in your aircraft over there, do y'all have like the Garmin 1000 and the glass cockpits?
There are a few aircraft, but it's not common. There are fewer people in the UK who'll use an aircraft for business travel. There are a lot fewer pilots with an instrument rating in the UK because the rules are much more onerous in the UK for a private pilot to get an instrument rating. He needs to pass the same exams as if he was going to do a commercial license, many more hours of work, so it's out of most people's budget compared with over here. In fact, most people who use an aircraft for business and fly IFR in the UK are probably doing so on an FAA IR and flying an N-registered aeroplane.
Okay, so for those of you who didn't get that, including me, I have to back up a little bit. If you're flying an N-numbered aeroplane, that's a U.S. registry, and you're flying with an FAA license, so it's legal to fly a U.S. aircraft on a U.S. license in Europe because it's a reciprocal agreement about flying U.S. aircraft. So I guess if you were an owner-operator and you were in the United States and you could fly over to Europe and you could fly around those countries, but you must comply with the flight rules in those areas.
That's right.
And that's the big difference. So don't just jump in your airplane and fly to Europe, because you really need to do some checking and planning prior to going there. Who would you talk to about finding out how that's done?
Well, there are some of our user groups that we work with at Gasco. So there's a group called PPL IR Europe. Mm-hmm. They represent private pilots who hold an instrument rating.
Mm-hmm.
You could talk to the Civil Aviation Authority direct. They've got a good website at caa.co.uk, and there's a lot of information from them as well. You could talk to Gasco. There's lots of places that you can get information from, certainly.
Great. And I think a lot of the people who are flying in the corporate aviation over here are members of MBAA or members of AOPA, and they can call either one of those groups and probably get a good bit of information.
Absolutely.
And plan it in advance. But it never hurts to get some information from the local people, and that's what I was getting at with Gasco there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also talked a little bit about soaring and the Soaring Society of America and the soaring in Europe. Now, is that more or less of a club organization, or is it?
Yeah, they're probably one of our most powerful interest groups in the UK, the British Gliding Association. They're very well organized. They've been around a long time. They have a fantastic safety program, and they've really built up gliding as a very secure way of going flying in the UK over the last 10 years.
Do you have as many restrictions on soaring or gliding there as you would on power planes?
We probably have a few less. They have had some increased restrictions over the last few years, but they are generally pretty free to fly. They're obviously limited because they haven't got an engine, but actually now with the cheaper and more powerful avionics that they have, and the a better performance from a modern glider, you find them around almost anywhere. And a very technical sport nowadays, gliding.
And we've got several record holders that compete with the Soaring Society of America, and they have the masters here, or the seniors, I believe it is, in mid-year at Claremont, Florida. And it's not at all unusual for them to take off first thing in the morning, fly up to Georgia, and come back to Claremont, Florida, here in Central Florida, on the same day one flight. So it is really not only a sport, but there's a science to it, understanding the weather and lift to drag ratio, and working with the guys are really tremendous. And for those of you who are listening to this, if you'd like to check into that, you can check into SSA and the different events throughout the world, because they do compete throughout the world. Let's get back in. Now, we've talked a little bit about soaring. We've talked a little bit about ballooning. And now, what about your military flying? How does that differ? Or could you address as much as you know about the military flying in the UK compared to the United States?
Yeah, I think the first thing to say is, as of probably around 3 or 4 months ago now, I think there is a significant reduction in the number of military flights now. Transport aircraft, there's still a reasonable amount of those shuttling things to and from the current theatres of war.
Right.
The airfield that I fly from is actually very close to a place that trained Harrier pilots.
Uh-huh.
The Harriers were grounded as of 2 or 3 months ago, so they've all gone. The number of fighters that you see around is drastically less than it was. A bit more helicopter traffic, because that's really where the focus is for the British military, is on the helicopters now.
But we seem to be going that direction
also,
and we also seem to be going in the direction of unmanned aircraft.
Yeah, that's right. That's something that we don't see too much of, but I guess in the areas of the country that are reserved for military flying, then that there'll be a bit more of that kind of thing going on too.
Okay, so y'all aren't as into that as much as the U.S., you think, the unmanned aircraft?
Yeah, I think we're probably doing our bit, but it's not something that you hear too much about at the moment.
Yes. Well, once again, we're speaking with Niels Jamieson with Gasco, who is with the General Aviation Safety Council out of England, and he's over visiting today in Orlando, Florida. And we just took a studio tour here, and we're talking a little bit about the differences in aviation in the good old U.S. of A. compared to England and throughout the world. And we're certainly looking forward, Niels, and talking to you more, probably over the internet and online with with the technology we have today with Skype or whatever.
Well, that sounds good.
Looking forward to working with you some more. Any final comments about what you're doing here and where are you going next?
Well, the world is our oyster. We've had some pretty unseasonable weather for Florida the last couple of days, which is, I'm glad to say, has cleared out the way now. So I think we're going to head north. We're maybe making for somewhere in Georgia, Atlanta maybe, or something like that, before we turn westbound and eventually do the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
See as many of the sites as we can.
Y'all
going to
stop in Vegas and put a dollar in the slot? Huh?
Yeah, well, I think that unfortunately these guys aren't quite old enough to be allowed to do it yet. But okay. I'll put a dollar in for them, I think.
There you go. I always give people a dollar and say, if you win, let me know. And I says, yeah, okay. but it's a lot of fun. And then y'all will be ending up, you're going all the way back to California with
you? Yeah, all the way back to California. And I leave on the 30th of October. And the other two guys, they leave 2-3 days after me, back to the winter weather.
Okay, so then you go back to England. And what's your mission there when you get back?
Well, I have a busy winter. I'm just about to make the change from being a first officer in my day job to being a captain of a 737. So a bit of studying and a bit of reading to do when I get home.
Okay, so the 172 is a good diversion for you.
Absolutely, man. And I'm just sitting in the back letting the guys at the front do all the hard work. I'm just enjoying the view.
Okay. Thank you so much for being with us today on Managing Safety. This is Obi Young reporting for Managing Safety. See you next time.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.